Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I mentioned last night, many of you were here last night, with services on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I decided to do a theme, and this year it's going to be Word of God, Son of God, House of God. So last night we talked about the Word of God, the powerful and creative Word of God, right? The moral law, of course, and the Word of promise, and that Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh. Now today, the Son of God, today's the day, right? Today is the day your children or your grandchildren have circled this date on the calendar. They've been telling you week after week, it's 18 days to Christmas. It's 15 days to Christmas. Last week in the children's message, one of the children corrected me about how many days it was to Christmas, right? Because I'm a pastor, I was thinking about Christmas Eve, and I said, Christmas is 5 days from now. The little kid raises their hand, Christmas is 6 days from now. And I said, well, of course the children know when Christmas is. It's today, the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. All those Old Testament promises, all that God had said that a Savior would come, and He's come. He's come. Before this day, you know how it's been. You probably have felt busy. There was a lot of shopping. There was a lot of baking. There was a lot of wrapping. If you guys follow my Facebook post, you know that I wrap the presents for my wife, and she wraps all the rest of them. Is that fair? No, but thanks for, you know, building me up. Anyway, yeah. So the day has come. I want to say this. At this point, the floor of your living room is covered in wrapping paper. Is that right? No. Some of them are. Did you cleaned it up already?
No.
You haven't opened them yet. Okay. Oh, you're looking forward to it. So the living room of your house is about to be covered in wrapping paper. And just so you know, all day long on TBS, you can watch A Christmas Story. And if you come in halfway, that's okay. They'll show it again, right, all day long. So I want us to get this. The Savior is born. You know that. Word of God, Son of God, tomorrow House of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to have that in our minds. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want us to hear a couple Bible texts. Psalm chapter 2, way back in the Old Testament. Psalm chapter 2. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. And over in the book of Hebrews, that verse is quoted, and it says, to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son? The answer is, to none of them. The reason that is pointed out is that the Bible says that mankind is created a little bit lower than the angels, but the son higher. So Jesus is a man, a human like us, but a little different, a little different. Luke chapter 1, we just read Luke chapter 2, that's the account of the Savior's birth. Luke chapter 1, you remember the angel Gabriel came to Mary and he said to her, the Holy One to be born will be called what? The Son of God. There is a different text. Yeah, he'll be called Jesus because he'll take away the sins of his people. The one to be born of you is going to be called the Son of God. Mark chapter 1, Jesus is baptized. He's in the water. He's being baptized by John the Baptist. He doesn't need it. He's not a sinner. He stands there to identify with us. And a voice speaks. Behold, this is what? My son, whom I love. I take pleasure in him. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, Matthew 16. Jesus says to his disciples, who do people say that I am? And what do they say? A whole range of options. You're a prophet, you're a teacher, you're Elijah. That's a theological discussion. Jesus didn't want to have a theological discussion because the real question wasn't, what do people say? What's the real question? What do you say? That's a beautiful passage. What do you say about this one? And Peter, always ready to talk, raises his hand. I know the answer. I was that kid in school too, right? But raises his hand. I know this one. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Over and over, the Son of God. This is the Son of God. This is the eternally begotten Son of God. Matthew 14, Jesus walked on water. And when he got in the boat, what did they say? Truly, you are the Son of God. It's funny, these guys have been with Jesus. They've seen him raise the dead, heal the sick, teach the gospel. That he walks on the water, they get it. For a while, exactly. They forget. They get it and they forget it, but they'll get it again. Truly, you are the Son of God. Jesus, Mark chapter 9, transfigured. The transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ, Mark 9, 7. Just like his baptism, a voice from heaven says, this is what? My Son, it changes a little bit. This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. The first time, this is my Son whom I love. I'm pleased with him. Transfiguration, this is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. In Matthew chapter 27, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the way, that's why he was born, to go to the cross for you and for me. And as he dies, and as the storm, and as the ground shakes, and as the tomb split open, it's a centurion, a Gentile, who confesses the faith when he says what? Surely, how powerful is that? Surely this man was the Son of God. Matthew's very clear about this, right? He lets us know that somebody not from the historic people of faith, it's a Gentile, a centurion, a military man who says, this is the Son of God. So, we say Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible says Jesus is the Son of God. We have to ask ourselves, what do we mean by that? What do I mean by that? Again, you know this, but I just want to be clear about it. We are saying that Jesus is absolutely unique. Absolutely. You've had great teachers. They weren't the Christ. Hopefully you've liked most of your preachers. They weren't the Christ. You have family members who have raised you and trained you. They were not the Christ. You have favorite authors. Your favorite actors. Favorite musicians, they're gifted. They do wonderful things. They're not the Christ. There's one Christ. One Christ. Eternal God, the second person of the Trinity, born in the flesh, omnipotent, omniscient, because he's God, and a tiny little baby because he's taken on the flesh. The church confesses three major creeds. The Apostles' Creed is the shortest and it's the oldest. And the Nicene Creed is next and it's a little longer. And your favorite creed is the third one. It might not be your favorite, maybe it's my favorite. It's really long, that's the point, right? The Athanasian Creed is really long. Now, when you look at the creeds, they go first article, second article, third article. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Which of the articles is longest? The second. God the Son. This is what we say about God the Son. In a few minutes, we'll be confessing that Nicene Creed. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in Jesus Christ, who ... Why the emphasis on Jesus? He's the Savior. He's absolutely unique. But also this, there are many ways to get it wrong. Jesus asked, what do people say? And that's still a valid question. This is one thing I've always loved. Jesus is so significant in human history. Do you know that every major religion in the world has something to say about Jesus? The work of Jesus has changed everything about this globe. It hasn't eliminated the hardship, but it's changed everything. So everybody says something about what about Jesus? In the Quran, Jesus is a prophet. They say that he was born of the Virgin Mary. He's a great prophet, but not God. Is that enough? No. In Unitarianism, by the way, you guys know Unitarianism means they reject the Trinity. It's not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's one God. If there's one God, God is in heaven. Who's Jesus? In Unitarianism, they'll say Jesus is the Son of God, little s, but not God. Not God. Not divine. One of the earliest heresies in the history of the church, they said that Jesus is God's greatest creation, his absolute greatest and highest and most significant and most powerful creation, but a creature. The church condemned it. Jesus is God. In Scientology, why do actors gravitate to that thing? I do not know. In Scientology, you have to hear this, Jesus is an operating phaeton. That fires you up, doesn't it? Jesus is an operating phaeton. That means he's just a man and he's reached the highest level of consciousness. Not enough. Jesus is God in the flesh, born, I believe, actually, on December 25th, 5 BC. You've heard people say it wasn't December 25th. I have a paper I printed in our newsletter a couple of years ago why I think it is. But he was born on a real date. He was born in Bethlehem. That's a real place. He was laid in a manger. That's a real thing. I want us to get this. When God, Almighty God, Eternal God, becomes a little baby, imagine this, he needed to be nursed. He needed to be birthed. And he needed to be changed. Is that right? The miracle of eternal, almighty, all-powerful God becoming a baby. You have to change him. At least for the first 3 years, right? And he grew and he learned. I want to caution us. There are some extra biblical books that say things about the childhood of Jesus. Ignore them. Although some of them are entertaining. My favorite one in one of those early books says that Joseph was such a bad carpenter that he would cut boards too short and the boy Jesus would miraculously lengthen them. Where's that guy when they build your house, right? But I do want us to get this. Jesus was born to die. And Jesus died to rise again. And Jesus rose to ascend. And Jesus ascended to rule. He rules right now. And he rules and will return. I know not the day. But he will return to complete his work. That's what Christmas is. Now, I want to finish with this. The Son of God, right? The Son of God. What did he come to do? To make you sons and daughters of God. Right? To make you sons and daughters of God. God says through St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:18, I will be a father to you, plural, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So hear this. These are my sons and daughters with whom I am well pleased. Right? Jesus, the Son of God, becomes flesh so that you can become sons and daughters of God. Romans 8, 14 and 15. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is the familiar, loving term. Dad. Do not be afraid of God. He's your dad. Right? Dad. Galatians 4, 4 to 7. I want to read several verses. Totally about Christmas, and totally about what Christmas is. Again, St. Paul. But when the time had fully come, that's Christmas, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. See? Born that you might become a son or daughter of God. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. There's that again. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Think of that. This tiny little baby, Almighty and eternal God, God in the flesh, to come for you, to redeem you from your sins. I want us to get this. To make us heirs of heaven. That's who you are in Christ. Don't accept anything less than that. The world loves to tell us we're something less than that. And the Word of God says to you time and time again, you are not a slave. You are not a nothing. You are not a nobody. You are a son. And if you're a son, you're an heir. And who are you an heir of? God. You are an heir of heaven thanks to this one. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord.